Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is written in Paul's letter to the Romans, the 11th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. I am speaking to you, Gentiles, for as long as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I am going to speak highly of my ministry. Perhaps I may make my own people jealous and to save some of them. For if their rejection meant the reconciliation of the world, what does their acceptance mean other than the dead coming to life? Because God's gracious gifts and call are not regretted. For just as you were once disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy due to their disobedience, so also now they have become disobedient, so that by the mercy shown to you, they may be shown mercy too. For God imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may show mercy to all. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, Paul was called to be the missionary to the Gentiles. But he was also concerned with his fellow men, the Jews. They also needed to be saved. It is his work with the Gentiles and his concern for the Jews that prompted our text for this morning. God's grace is evident in both groups of people, the Jews and the Gentiles. We might say, Paul says, behold, the wonders of God's grace. Rejection is turned into reconciliation. Envy is turned into salvation. Disobedience is turned into mercy for all. Rejection is turned into reconciliation. We read of the Jews, if their rejection. Simple words, rejection. They were God's chosen people, way back in history. But we go up to the present time of Paul's life, or even at the time that Christ was on the earth, although these Jews, these Jewish leaders especially, knew all of the prophecies concerning the coming Messiah, they changed them. They said this Messiah would become an earthly king, who would free us from the tyranny of Rome and make us a wonderful nation again. And because they believed that, and they taught that when Christ entered the scene and didn't get a large army behind him, did not start a revolt, they rejected him. Also, they rejected him because they believed that if they obeyed to the best of their ability the laws handed down through Moses to their people, they would gain heaven. And so to believe that Christ was the way to heaven went against their teachings, and so they rejected him. The Gentiles, for just as you were once disobedient to God, the Gentiles, those would be the people that were in Asia Minor, and in Greece, and in Italy, were steeped in the worship of idols, all kinds of them, made of wood, made of stone, decorated with precious gems, looked wonderful, the makers made a lot of money out of them, and they were taught, you believe in these gods, and you will be rewarded in a wonderful afterlife. I didn't say heaven. A wonderful afterlife. But that was not the way. And unless they were told the correct way, they would be lost forever. They disobeyed God, the true God, with their worship of these false gods. But both would have the opportunity for reconciliation. What does their acceptance mean other than the dead coming to life? This refers to the Jews who had rejected the Lord, but then came back to the Lord, and instead of facing eternal death, which would be their lot if they rejected Christ, they would now have life. They would be saved. All they had to do was believe that Christ was the Messiah, was their Savior, was the only way to heaven. They believed that, and they would now have eternal life, not eternal death, as their future. The Gentiles, but now have been shown mercy due to their disobedience. Because of their disobedience, they needed help. And God says, through Paul, I will give you that help. Through Paul, you will be told who the true God really is, not made of stone, not made of wood, a God who is in the heavens, who rules the world. They would be told of Jesus, the only way to heaven. They would be told of heaven. And they were told, all you have to do is believe that. You would be then reconciled to God. You would become children of God and heirs of life. Today, many, many unbelievers are around. But God says, I want them to have a chance to be saved. And so he says to us, proclaim that gospel. But let's get more personal. Many Christians today have become weak. Why? Because the joys of this world have become too important. And I use the word joy with quotation marks because it's not really joy. The sins of this world, which are so much promoted today as the right thing to do, lead not to heaven, but to hell. But because of their being accepted, many Christians are maybe having their faith tempted or even weakened. They need help. Unbelievers abound. They're all around us. It's a given statement. There are many people who just plain don't believe or don't want to believe. But God's grace is there for all of them. He says, no matter who you are, if you believe, if you change from your wicked ways, you turn back to me, you will be saved. Not because of anything that you really do, but rather because of what Christ has done for you. Rejection is turned into reconciliation. Envy is turned into salvation. Jealousy leads to all kinds of problems, doesn't it? And yet Paul speaks of that very idea in our text. Perhaps I may make my own people jealous and to save some of them. What would they be jealous of? Well, wherever Paul went in his missionary journeys, he always saw Jews. In almost all of the cities, there were synagogues. But of course, these people had no idea who the true Christ really was. But now they watch, and all of a sudden, Gentiles are believing. And they are living a wonderful life. They are being blessed by God. And these unbelieving Jews look at them and think, wow, that's great. Maybe I should be a part of that too. And watching these Gentiles, they may become jealous of their goodness and turn from their sinful ways. And in that way, jealousy can be positive if it leads people to believe. Today, as I said several times, we all live in glass houses. We're being watched. Especially when difficult events happen in our lives. How do you react when something difficult happens. Do you throw up your hands in holy horror? I can't handle this. I'm lost. I'm done for. I have nothing to live for. That's what a lot of people think. That's why psychiatrists and psychologists have a strong profession, because many people go to them for help. A believer turns to God. God says, I will be with you always to the end of the age. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock on that door and it will be opened. God listens to your prayers. God says, I will help you in a way that is best for you. And when he does, and you are positive in these difficult times, you're being watched. And people look and they say, wow, I want to have that too. I want to have that faith in God. I want to have that trust, so when these things happen, I don't have to give up because I have someone by my side. And just perhaps those people might then turn to the Lord and become children of God and heirs of life. So be careful what you do. Be careful what you say, especially in difficult times, because you're being watched. And God may be using those times to bring others into his family. Finally, envy is turned into salvation, to save some of them. When these Jews looked at these Gentiles who were now believers and saw what was going on, they listened. And yes, in Paul's missionary journeys, he worked with the Gentiles, but also Jews came and heard and returned to the family of God. They turned to Christ, not to themselves, not to their own abilities, but to God's promises. Today, they also watch. You're seen, and they react to your work. Finally, disobedience is turned into mercy for all. For God imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may show mercy to all. I've often been asked, why did God allow Adam and Eve to sin? Why did he allow them to bring sin into the world? The answer is here, that he may show mercy to all. If we were perfect, there would be no need for God to show mercy, but we're not. And so he said, I love my people. I love my prized creation. I want them to be saved. And so he told his son to go down to earth, to be a human being under my laws, to obey my laws, because that's what I demanded of my people, and they didn't do it. So you do it for them. He did. He said, you have to be a man so you can die, because I demand death, the spilling of blood, to pay for the sins of all people of all time. Jesus did that on the cross. I want the devil once and for all to be defeated. I want death to be overcome. And so Christ did that with his resurrection. I want my people to have a wonderful place to live in when they die. And so Jesus is now on high building that house for us to live in, a perfect house. All of this he did because he loves us. Because that was his will, that all people be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And so he sent his son to do that for us. All of it. Not because we're any good. We're not. But because of his grace. Because of his undeserved love. Love we don't deserve, but which he still showers upon us. Yes, God loves us all. He wants all to be saved. All have a chance because of God's grace. We sinners will go to heaven because of God's grace. Indeed, behold the wonders of God's grace. Amen. Please stand.